Hello, I'm Matthias Spiegel.
And I'm Ronald Donaldson.
And welcome to a special interview episode of
But That's a Different Story,
where we bring you stories so underground, you would think you're in a rap battle with MC Warm Food in a NORAD missile silo.
And hopefully it's a well-insulated silo, because for us Northeasterners, it's the time of year when the cheerful holiday season has passed and left us with Jack Frost's overly enthusiastic and possibly amphetamine-addicted cousin, Tommy Tundra.
Yes, indeed. The layers of frozen canine and human urine provide us New Yorkers with our very own winter version of the yellow brick road. Slick ice patches are constantly filling our minds with the fantasy of taking a nasty spill just to avoid braving the cold to get to work each day.
But as is the nature of the balance of the universe, there exists one all-powerful creature who can combat the cold front until the sweet spread of global warming pushes us into a perpetual summertime beach party.
Why, Matthias, you must be talking about that old, lovable scamp from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Indeed I am, Ronald. And while we have been laying in wait for his solar silhouette to lead us to sunny salvation, I decided to take a trip to find out more about our furry friend's future finding abilities.
Are you sure that this trip had nothing to do with the fact that the heat is out in our office and a gang of raccoons have burrowed a hole in your apartment wall?
All will be revealed in today's story, which we're calling
Groundhog Zero.
It all started the day after leaving the bi-weekly Flat Earth Society meeting at my local YMCA, where I was conveniently currently taking residence in the pool locker room. The night's discussion had led to some serious accusations against the reliability of the local Channel 4 meteorology department. For the fifth day in a row, Janice Huff had inaccurately predicted the high for the day by a discrepancy of 4 degrees. While we were all looking forward to a refreshing afternoon peak of 24 degrees Fahrenheit, the meat thermometer poking from the bullet hole of my shower window barely passed 20 that day, and it was the final rectangular straw in the peppermint Oreo McFlurry of New York winter. My producers had been urging us to cover this year's Groundhog Day extravaganza in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, but I had recently gotten a hot tip from one of my FES buddies, Pancake Pat, that the Groundhog's Day prediction was not all that it was cracked up to be. The overall consensus of most of the truly enlightened free-thinking world of people like myself, Pancake Pat, Dinner Plate Diana, and Tortilla Tom is that the true Groundhog Guru was forced into quote-unquote early retirement years ago and replaced with an animatronic government puppet in order to lie to us about the foreseeable future of each year's winter. I decided to take the funds allocated for my Punxsutawney story and follow up on these rumors. The first and only clue I had was from Pancake Pat, and it was a coloring kids menu placemat from a restaurant called Flapjack Daniels Diner in the conveniently warm state of Tennessee. I boarded the first bus I found that allowed me to travel in the cargo hold for a discounted fare, and I was off. The journey was rough, but after about 6 days of travel, I had arrived about 4 miles from my destination. I had lost my shoes somewhere over the Rockies after hitting a nasty bump, so I stuck out my thumb and showed a little leg, and not long after was able to get a ride from a nice man whose truck had more wheels on it than he had teeth. Luckily, he was hungry as well, so he escorted me straight to Flapjack Daniels Diner. It was there in a corner booth that I saw the man that I knew I needed to speak to.
Is this where the sidewalk ends?
That depends. Is this the tree with no name?
Shell?
Silver?
Steam.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Okay, I was really nervous. My heart was pounding.
I was having palpitations.
So I was sent here with instructions, not instructions, but with as information from Pancake Pat.
Oh, yes. I love Pancake Pat. He's a very good friend, dear friend of mine. And also happens to be a cousin of Waffle Winslow.
Waffle Winslow? Is that a... It's his cousin. How do you know Waffle Winslow?
He's my cousin, too.
Oh.
So I guess that makes Pancake Pat a second cousin?
Second cousin. Somewhere down the line.
Somewhere, yeah.
So I was sent here to Jack Daniels Diner. Flapjack Daniels Diner.
That's right. They have the best flapjacks east of the Mississippi, west of the Great Smoky Mountains, north of the Alabama... Alkaline Flats and south of the Michigan Muppet Museum.
My favorite museum has to be the Michigan Muppet Museum. Have you been lately?
You know, they don't let me back in anymore.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because I tried to rescue them. I think they're alive.
You know, it would be a lot of sexual assault cases brought on by the Muppets if that was the case. I'm surprised that hasn't come up.
Actually, I think it might have. I've filed a few petitions on their behalf. Oh,
you are truly a Renaissance man. So yes, I was sent here because I had some questions about Punxsutawney Phil and you know, this whole Groundhog Day conspiracy. And I needed to know what insights you had. Basically, what we've concluded is that he's a government animatronic puppet, and they lie and they control him to say that winter is ending or continuing based on the stock market, much like and then they can place not bets but investments in certain commodities like orange juice and orange trees and orange farms.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I'm so glad that you found this out. Excuse me, I'm drinking water, and you may hear it in the background. All this syrup here, Flapjack Daniels, is, you know, sugar makes you so thirsty. So.
Yeah, everyone seems to be slurping it up.
Yes, and I've been known to be a ventriloquist, which is why I find the Muppets to be alive.
So. Oh, do you like Jeff Dunham?
Who?
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm so glad that you are finally on board and spreading the word, the good word about this nefarious government intervention of that punk from Punxsutawney.
Well, I haven't broken the story yet. I need to get my facts straight, which is why I'm coming to you. No one really, Pancake Pat didn't really give me a name. Can you, I'm sure that you don't want to give your real name, but how about an alias?
Oh, sure, like that show. Felicity?
Yes, famous for right. Many AKAs.
So it's like, I just cut my hair and no one knows who I am.
Yeah.
So you can call me Chattanooga Chad.
Chattanooga Chad, how apropos, given we're in Chattanooga.
Oh, I guess it's not the best pseudonym then, if you could find me here. And especially that everyone knows the location of where we are right now.
Well, I'm sure you're a nomad and have your ways of...
Well, yes, I'm nomad. I'm pretty genial, and people seem to like me, I think.
I'm sure you don't stay put in one place with the wealth of information that you have. I'm sure you're highly sought after by many entities, good and bad alike.
That is absolutely true. I do have to keep moving. Usually I move from this booth to the other one in the corner. I try to, you know, lose my tracks and, you know, keep my pursuers, you know, in the dark. And
you turn off the lights?
Yes.
Oh, so you must be a regular here then if you pull that kind of weight.
Well, look at me. As you can see by eating all these pancakes, all these flapjacks, that I have gained a lot of weight. And yes, I'm a regular. They You're seem to appreciate my business.
Almost as round as the earth is flat.
Now, hold on a second. I don't like the insinuation, but actually, I think I do like the insinuation. I'll have to get back to you on that.
It's merely a compliment.
Oh, well, I do appreciate that. Thank you. And to answer your question, yes, I do have to keep moving because every time I see a van, any kind of van, I know I have to move and change my address.
Oh, wow. That's got to be a tiring lifestyle.
So many $1 bills by mailing it to the post office, because that's what they require to change your address. And I've gotten so many coupons from Lowe's and 1-800-Flowers. It is so just incredible how many coupons I have.
It would be a coupon cutter's dream, it sounds like. You know, the savings, I can only imagine.
Well, I mean, thankfully it saved my life a few times. Every time I see a minivan, I stop, drop, and roll. Because I know you know, there's government agents in there trying to track my remove and silence the truth that I am trying to profess.
Okay, well, let's get into that. So tell me about this truth. What we need to know if the true, where is the true Punxsutawney Phil?
Well, that's a little hard to say. So basically, what you have to know is that the real Punxsutawney Phil was a real groundhog at one point. But around 1993, maybe it was 92, a certain film came out. I believe it was 1993. A certain film came out that got the public in a mass hysteria and really got the attention onto this groundhog. That movie was Jurassic Park. And cloning was on everybody's mind. So they thought, well, wait a second. How can this one groundhog be alive for so long and predict the weather so well? Well, that's because of cloning.
Oh, okay. So me and my colleagues then perhaps were not correct in thinking that this was a mere Chuck E. Cheese-style puppet.
Well, I believe that there is a puppet, an animatronic puppet, that does live in the elaborate tunnels that go all the from underground from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, down all the way to Orlando, Florida, under Walt Disney World.
Oh my God, this is getting very deep.
The Imagineers at Walt Disney World created this Punxsutawney Phil animatronic puppet, but he has to fight against the cloned groundhogs that are part of a government conspiracy to keep the Punxsutawney legend alive.
So, from what I can understand, the clones went rogue.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. The clones are trying to silence the animatronic puppet, which belongs to the government. But the clones, they got their own ideas because they've created sort of resistance underground.
So, I know that there's a tunnel that goes from Punxsutawney down to Orlando, Florida?
Yes, yes. There's an elaborate tunnel system underneath Walt Disney World where all the employees go and the frozen head of Walt Disney still lives there.
Okay, so if the groundhogs are able to tunnel this way, then is Punxsutawney the only place where they can accurately predict the weather? Or is it... Oh, I might be wrong.
Oh, no, my reporter friend, no. That whole weather reporting system is completely misdirection. It is a false flag operation promoted by the government. And in fact, even the resistance of the clones are, I suspect, Russian influence that is really funded by the CIA to create even further misdirection, to get the public sort of that second layer in a seven-layer dip of conspiracy.
Oh my God, when does it end?
Well, I think it ends till you get to the refried beans. That is sort of your base. And in the analogy, I would say that is here, right in Tennessee.
Okay. So then it stands to reason that any of the groundhogs could potentially tell the weather anywhere.
Well, there's a whole reporting system. I mean, the United States is, from the last recordings I have made in my trailer, it is rather large. I don't know if that's a controversial statement, but...
Your trailer is large.
Well, my trailer, to me, is a kingdom in and of itself. It's, you know, it's one of these old 1950s Airstream trailers without any wheels. But I think it's large in my mind, but the United States itself happens to be even larger.
Okay, I see.
And to get the weather reporting from all across the 50 states, which, by the way, Alaska is part of the contiguous United States. I don't know what people are saying that it is, you have to go all the way through Canada to get there. No. It is off the coast of Oregon. It's connected, in fact. There's a land bridge. Anyway, to get the weather reporting from all 50 states, you need groundhogs everywhere.
So they're the beacons. So it's not just one, it's a whole system.
Oh, yes, they relay the information to each other through all the woodland critters.
Oh, wow. So it's not just groundhogs involved. We got raccoons, tweedledybirds, foxes, all of them.
That's right. All three of them.
So through all of them. So how does this information gets distributed? This is through the clones, right?
Well, yes, the clones, because there's so many of them, they really control the weather reports.
Okay, so I see. So then there is the animatronic one is merely gaslighting.
That's true. Yes, he goes around to all of the quaint old streets in the States, and he does light the gas. He also tries to convince everyone that what he's saying is true, but in reality is not true.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what is the government that, well, I know that is, my theory was that the government uses this weather information to invest in certain futures, oranges, mm-hmm. orange groves, mm-hmm. orange trees, mm-hmm. and orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. That's how it originally started.
With the plot of Trading Places.
Yes. In fact, Trading Places was really the impetus for this whole conspiracy.
I see. Oh, that would be, that stands to reason, because that's right around the time right before, I guess a little bit after that, that's when the whole thing started.
That's right. Yes, it took the scientists a few years after Trading Places to really, you know, work out the kinks. But once they saw that hilarious Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy vehicle, they decided, well, we need to make this a reality.
I see.
But, of course, it goes to reason that the orange futures really depend on the crop in Florida. Now, this is where Walt Disney World comes in, and the Imagineers creating the groundhog, you know, puppet. So, to answer your question, is that that's how it started. But right now, it goes way beyond the oranges. It goes to mandarins, to clementines, to pluots, which is a combination of plums and some other fruit that
kumquat?
A kumquat. Now wait a second, I've only heard about that. We don't get those here in Tennessee.
No. They're quite delicious.
Alright. Are they round or flat?
Well, they're as round as the earth is flat.
I see.
Much like yourself.
Oh well thank you, I think.
You're welcome. My hat's off.
And that, well, that's, you have peeled back another layer of this onion that is...
Does conspiracy. It go to onions, too?
Onion futures is a very important, lucrative business. I mean, you've got onions. You've got...
Onion juice?
Onion juice.
Oh, a teaspoon of that before bed my grandma would give me.
No kidding. Well, what would it do?
Make my breath smell very bad. And she'd make me brush my teeth. And then take another sip, and then do that probably about 4 or 5 times before.
Well, that's, of course, that's because of the toothpaste industry.
Oh, no. You're not talking about fluoride, am I? Are you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed, I am. Fluoride, you see, is in the water. Now, we know that the government initially put fluoride in the water in order to control our batteries. Because batteries are made from windmills, or not windmills, what am I saying? The mills, you know, that a river...
Watermills,
right. Those turbines turn, and they just shrunk that technology using a shrinking ray to create batteries. Now, each battery is really just fluoride in a mini river inside of a little, you know, Duracell battery.
I'm an Energizer man myself.
Oh, well, so the rabbits, I mean, that's a whole other network of spies that you have in the forest.
Oh, so the rabbits communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the symbolism and the energized batteries.
Mm-hmm. You're seeing it now.
You're opening my eyes.
You're seeing it's all connected.
And can you please stop? They're getting quite dry, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please,
yes.
Remove your hands.
Your eyelids are... I'll let it go.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, please. Yeah, take some of this water and splash it on. You see, this all the government's trying to do is prop up the farmers. Because they control not only the weather, but the time as well.
Wait. How? Ooh.
You've heard of daylight savings time.
In passing.
In passing from maybe one day to the next when it's time to move back the clocks.
Exactly, as time passes.
Ah, that's when you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's what they want you to think. That time does pass. But in reality, we're not even sure.
Oh. So we could be. So these clocks, I assume that they would run on much of the same windmill technology.
Absolutely.
Because they're powered by batteries.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's of course. Now, I love clocks. I love watches. There's a name for it that I cannot pronounce, so I won't even try. But, you know, I go in the gears and I fix them and I like to see them turn and I put in some mercury to make it just taste a little better, because you really have to lick a watch to get it to know what time it is.
A true connoisseur knows to lick the watch.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
To lick his timepiece.
Right.
That's the true mark of quality, is if you can taste the mercury.
You heard of nick in time?
Yes.
The nick of time.
Nick of time.
Right.
A stitch in time.
Saves 9 licks. How many licks does it take to get to the
9 licks. 9 lives.
Like a cat who likes to lick itself.
So I assume that the cats then are the beacons for the time.
That's absolutely correct. You are natural, my friend. You must come to one of our meetings.
Oh, you have meeting. Do you have a society? I know we have the Flat Earth Society at the YMCA in New York City. Where, of course, Pancake Pat, mm-hmm. Dinner Plate Diana, and mm-hmm. Tortilla Tom and I get together and discuss. But I know you were second cousin of Pancake Pat and mm-hmm. Waffle
Winslow.
Winslow, yeah. First cousin of Waffle Winslow. So I assume Waffle Winslow is a cross-platform here. I've never seen him myself, but
oh well, yeah, yes. He and I are part of the Time Truth Society.
Time Truth Society.
Right. Yes.
TTS.
That's right.
Ooh. TTS.
Toots, as tits. We like to say. Hey, toots. Well, we have meetings, yes. Yeah, it's the only problem is it's very hard to decide on when we meet. Because we can't agree on if time even exists.
So all your watches are set to different times based on your own personal time truth.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I mean, really, to know what time, I would have to lick his watch. Which is just...
That's how you sync.
Yes. Lick sync. Like lip syncing.
Like lick syncing. I got it.
Right, exactly.
I see.
So we have meetings every time we just happen to see each other.
Oh, I see.
Maybe passing on the street, avoiding different government vans. If we happen to stop, drop, and roll into each other, we have a very, very quick meeting.
It makes me wonder, how far does this go? Does this go globally? Because there is one very big clock in a city just across the pond, and I have to wonder if that is also cat-controlled.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you said it, that so I didn't have to, because my voice is getting tired, but I think it's okay. Yes, absolutely. I mean, you've heard of Greenwich Mean Time, which is what all the clocks around the world set their time
that
to.
That is the government standard sync time.
Yes, right. And where is that located? It's located in England.
Oh, I was thinking maybe Greenwich Village in New York, but...
Well, that's what they want us to think. That, you know, people in Greenwich Village are having the time of their lives, that they're setting the trends and everything, and that people know what time it is in Greenwich Village.
I mean, they came up with that in the 60s, which is the height of that popularity of that...
Right in that neighborhood, yeah, right. Well, that's just, again, another misdirection.
Oh.
There's a lot of misdirection going on with the gun that, you know, they just want our heads to swivel almost like the arms of a clock.
Ah! Maddening.
It is, right? So, in England, where they have this Greenwich Mean Time, that's where...
Why not Greenwich Nice Time? Right?
I've been working on that day and night just to find out. That's one of my side projects. I ask all the woodland creatures if they can, you know, find a way to talk to the other woodland creatures in, you know, England, like the moles and the voles or whatever else they got over in England, the you know, the animals that dress up trolls. Real fancy like.
They've had a lot of bridges in England.
That's
I'm sure
true.
There's lots of trolls.
There's a very famous bridge, right? So there must be a very famous troll who lives
under
that bridge.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope to get the truth on that from that troll about Big Ben, which is the big clock that controls all the time in the world.
So it is. So that's what it is. Big Ben is the main clock of the world.
Right. Absolutely.
But to a man like you and Waffle
Winslow,
I'm sure that doesn't mean anything because, like you said, gaslighting.
Right. They want us to follow that clock, but it is, again, depends on everyone's personal truth time.
PTT.
Right. The patoots. Personal truth time. Whatever the telling system. Is what it should be. You know, Albert Einstein, he discovered that time was relative. And what happened to him? They silenced him. When he was a very old man, after he published many papers and died, they silenced him. You know, some people say that it was old age. I believe it.
I don't know if I do, though. I think a man as smart as that could have beaten death. And especially if he had mastered the concept of time, he would know. So I think, personally, that he didn't die, but he just is constantly living in his own suspended time reality.
Wow. Now, wait a second. What
little
creatures are you talking to? Oh, hold on a second. I mean, God damn it. Yo, you are expanding my brain. Wow, my mushy lumps inside of my helmet space. My goodness. Well, I'm going to have to find out. I'm going to have to ask some of my friends out in the Great Smoky Mountains what they could find about this. I don't know if you realized, but I also talk to animals.
So I'm assuming then that you were able to find out all of this information due to your Dr. Doolittle abilities.
Yes, exactly, because from the
Doolittle's.
It's my I do have a doctorate in Dr. Doolittle's.
Doodleism?
Yes.
I did my thesis in Doodleism and...
You did, really? What was it written on?
On doodleism. Oh.
A napkin, I'm guessing?
No.
Your doodle?
Scrap paper.
Oh, of course. I see.
Index rule line paper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just a simple man here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, but to be in the presence of such a learned fellow.
I am from New York City.
Oh, well, my goodness. New York City? I've heard plenty of tales about it. Not a lot of woodland creatures, but...
Not a lot of good salsa, apparently, if you listen to the Pace commercials.
That's
true. We've been trying to debunk that as well.
Oh, I would love to hear about that. I'm sure you have meetings about that all the time.
Yes, but that's a different group.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's with Spicy Sam and Sweaty Sarah.
Well, I would like to meet those folks one day, if I could stay alive for that long. But you see, I do have my network of furry creatures that I do depend on and talk to, you know, tip me off as to when these vans are arriving and to also tell me the secrets of the universe.
Ah, how interesting.
They've been a very, you know, dominant force in my life ever since I was a little child. After I, you know, decided to live in the woods for a little bit and go to the Great Smoky Mountains, that's when I first... heard the animals talking.
So you left your, I assume, your parents' house?
Yes, that's right. My pa and my ma, they would be just, you know, working during the day and assuming that I was at school. But what I did, you see, I just wasn't having it. I knew that things were up, that the government was lying to us ever since I was a little child. And I realized that, you know, Happy Meals didn't make me happy.
Oh.
They just, They made me sad.
Oh.
So I knew that there was a lie. There's a great big lie out there.
Oh. Oh. Shh. Oh my God. I see a van rolling up right here.
What kind of van?
It's an Astro.
Oh.
Astro van.
That's a very sophisticated one. I believe it's from the future.
And I believe I see an antenna on it that could be used as some kind of radio tracking device.
Oh, God. Okay, they're probably listening to my feelings. I knew I shouldn't have gone to the dentist. All right, okay, I got
it. There's a man in a suit coming out. Not a suit, maybe coveralls, but a suit of some sort. A bodysuit.
Okay, I'm freaking out here.
Okay.
I'm freaking out.
Let me...
Stay
calm.
Can you just...
Stay calm.
Take my...
Stop, drop, and roll! Stop, drop, and roll!
Well, don't leave me in suspense, Matthias. What happened?
Well, it turns out some kids had just lit some firecrackers outside of the diner, and as the dust settled, I saw that Chattanooga Chad was nowhere in sight. After some quick investigation, I found a trap door, and as I opened it, I found a tunnel leading down to I don't know where.
But that's a different story.